Welcome, everyone, to the Township's Daily News Bits. I'm Holly Bailey here on 99.1, bringing you news and events that matter to townshippers through the local journalism initiative funded by the Government of Canada. Have a little listen as we jump into this new story here for 2026. Happy New Year to all, and so happy to find you here on the flip side. This is Coach Hickey, whom some of you might know quite well.
But most of all, it has to be fun. So that's why the title of the thing, when basketball was a game. It's a game. It's not the, when these kids are playing, it's not the seventh game or the Stanley Cup or the World Series. It's something which is a learning experience. You have to learn to win. You have to learn to lose. And you have to learn to get positive reaction out of both experiences.
Those are the wise words of Coach Hickey, a.k.a. Mike Hickey, known to many here in the townships and throughout Quebec and Canada. He is one of the most impressive and eclectic coaching resumes of anyone, it is said, in the Canadian University basketball programs. Having worked with both men and women for more than 5 decades, he even worked at the national level, accompanying the Canadian women's team to participate in the Summer Olympics in Atlanta. What a highlight! What a career, and what experience he brings to the table, as he recently published his latest book on mentor and friend Don Ryan, entitled When Basketball Was a Game. It was released late 2025, and we speak to him now about life, about coaching, about the book, and what it represents, and why he felt it needed to be written. We present to you, here on 99.1, Coach Hickey. Okay, Mr. Mike Hickey, thank you so much for joining us here on 99.1.
Pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about my book.
Exactly. So you've had a really long and extensive career as a basketball coach.
I'm old, that's why.
Pardon me?
Because I'm old, that's why.
Is it just about 50 years you were coaching?
Started in 1973 at Sir George Williams University, which is no longer in existence. It's now part of Concordia. So yeah, it goes back over 50 years. Yes.
That's amazing.
It does.
What kept you fired up and invested in the sport and coaching?
I always enjoyed sports, okay? And basketball was the one sport where I was decent at, you know? So... And actually, when I graduated from college in Vermont, my plan was to go and become a guidance counselor, you know. But I got an offer to come up to Montreal to do some coaching, and I really, really, really love it, you know. So I like working with people, and most of my life has been with college, university students, but I also do a lot of work with youngsters, you know, 5 to 10, and do a lot of work in camps. So it's something that I think I'm good at, and certainly I get a lot of enjoyment out of it.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I wondered what you might have personally learned from coaching others, and how you view the role of sports in a child or person's development.
I think sports is like any other activity, dance or music, is really important for a number of reasons. We have to make sure we get our young children active, right? And not on screens and not on computers. And I think that the physical literacy is really important. And we don't always get it from schools the way we should. It's, you know, everybody has budget problems and things like that. And what's happening now in sports is that we tend to really take care of the elite type of players and spend more money on that than maybe perhaps we should. So, but what sports does, in my experience, it provides people with the ability to work as a team. It involves some discipline. It involves goal setting, and it you ask for some dedication, showing up for practices, showing up for games, loyalty to your team, which is now a big question mark. But most of all, it has to be fun. So that's why the title of the thing is "When Basketball Was a Game." It's a game. It's not the, when these kids are playing, it's not the seventh game or the Stanley Cup or the World Series. It's something which it's a learning experience. You have to learn to win, you have to learn to lose, and you have to learn to get positive reaction out of both experiences.
I was going to ask that next. Why the title of your book, When Basketball Was a Game?
A little bit of a throwback to being in my 70s and watching the game evolve. One of the things that my main character, Don Ryan, did was he instilled real strong principles, going to school, being loyal, being disciplined. But first and foremost, it was fun. I mean, he took kids to Europe on four occasions. He took them down to Louisiana and Las Vegas multiple times. The team was located in Hempstead, New York, on Long Island, and he took baseball and basketball teams to Quebec on 22 different occasions. And he never charged the kids a cent. Okay, the kids. This is not my hometown. Was not a by any stretch of the imagination rich. A lot of these kids came from broken homes, and he provided a refuge, a haven from them. And I go back to when I was a kid. Well, I went to the park, that was my safe space, and that was my, things weren't going well. I go out and I could shoot a basketball. For other people, it may be swimming and maybe playing a musical instrument, but you need this, you need to be a kid. And part of being a kid is having fun. And I think that we have a tendency now that putting people on elite teams way too early, where they travel more than they practice, where they could be in the summertime, they could play for one team, and next week they get offered to play for a different team. So the idea of the of in sports, they have to use the term family. We're a family, except that people change teams so quickly. It's not really it's a dysfunctional family. So one of the things that Coach Ryan did was really impress upon that, this is our group. And through the years, he had these players for 1 or 2 years, but the comeback, of always getting involved, of giving donations back for the next generation can enjoy what they had, was really, really important and part of the reason why he was so successful all these years. I mean, he coached for 60 years, and the same group of kids, and he had tremendous success. He won over 3,000 games, which is unheard of. But the real success is what the lessons the players learned playing for him, and the need to for education. So he started this theme of carrying the books as well as the ball. So I was in a book signing in New York last week. They always say carry the books, and I made a team because I was a good student and a good player. And so I think that's the onus of the book is different little stories about how people who might have struggled in school or came from broken homes or maybe one or two from a familiar abusive homes found a person who would look after them, and then the pay it back scenario came where former players started to help coach.
This
So.
is major. He was teaching like life skills and
Doubt, without a doubt.
aspects of humanity and self-respect and
And he did the
wow.
same thing in his classrooms, So, So I think the stories are very enjoyable. I've been very pleased with the feedback. I'm looking forward to Saturday to going down to Bishop's. I spent 11 years in the townships, did some coaching down there, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. It's gonna be a real good two good basketball games against McGill. It's always a great atmosphere in the Mitchell Gymnasium, and go reconnect with some old friends and hopefully meet some new ones.
So you were coaching the men's assistant coach of the men's basketball team at
So
Bishop's?
I went down there In 97, basically because my son was going to Champlain and he
Oh.
wasn't doing a real good job in school. He was doing okay on the basketball court. So I was going to be the father figure in the background. So the first 4 years, I coached the women at Champlain. Then I coached the men at Bishop's, assistant coach with Eddie Parmakala for the men's team. And then I went back and coached the Champlain men for, I think, 3 years. And
Okay.
then there was time for us to move back to Montreal. So.
Nice. So, getting back to Don Ryan, he was someone you met at 13 years of age, I read.
Right. I grew up on Long Island, but I went to school in Queens with a bunch of my friends. And he would come by and pick us up and drive us home. We're savers of about an hour of traveling on city buses. So on those trips, he would constantly be, challenging us for different trivia things and it was just enjoyable. So I got to know him through there. And then through basketball, I was constantly playing in his leagues in the summertime. And then when I became a head coach at Sir George Williams, he helped me get some players from the States to come up and play. So, and from that, we had this really, really good relationship. Anytime he was in Quebec, I would come by and watch his teams play. And at one point, I wrote a previous book 20 years ago, and I gave him a copy. He liked it and said, "Would you be interested in doing something on the Hempstead team?" And I said, "I would love to do something like that." But it was a long process. We started maybe, I don't know, 9 years ago, and then COVID came. Doing research from 300 miles away is difficult, so I would go down and hit the library and stuff. I think one of the things we did well in the book is there's a lot of research involved, and maybe that's the one thing I learned in college was to do research properly. But so we kept saying we're going to do it, we have it by last year, and then we it just things happened, and we just didn't want to, I didn't want to rush it out and not have it done properly. I think we did a good job on it.
You did it justice. Oh, I
Yes.
haven't read it myself, but I read excerpts and such that you shared with me, and just
Yes.
the stories of different individuals and their tributes to him on how he really affected their lives and was a father figure for many
That's
in
right.
some
Exactly right.
cases.
And the other funny thing about it is after the book went to the publisher, I had two people come up with similar stories I would have loved to put in the book, But sometimes you have to say, it's done,
Yeah,
And
the
that's right.
game's done. You touched on a few things, just how much sports, the role sports or arts or activities plays in a person's development. And I see the scenario where Canadian universities are facing all kinds of pressure and cuts. We look at McGill, just had to make the decision to cut all these 25 clubs and varsity teams. In your opinion, how do you view this and how do you see the repercussions?
Somebody who either through Concordia or St. George or Bishop's are always playing against McGill, it'd be easy to sit there and criticize. The thing is, the funding is really, really difficult, and the government's making it very difficult. I always think the way it looks like, particularly on the English institutions. And I think, Bishop's just pulled back from the football to go back and play in Quebec, which I think is partly a financial thing. I don't know. So it's always been this battle, and particularly in Quebec schools. Do you give as many sports as possible to the general public, or do you want to concentrate on four or five, basketball, hockey, football, and then not fund other programs? When I was in the CJEP system, everything was based on how much money you could raise. We put our coaches in difficult situations sometimes because fundraising becomes part of their job. That's really, really pragmatic, and so and it's just you like to think that there's ways to fund everybody, and it doesn't seem with the caps on tuition and the caps on what the government gives to the schools. And you look at the French system, which has become really, really powerful in the last 30 years. Everything they do is private donations, and But they have better pipelines than they say the English schools do. So I don't like to see teams get cut, and like I say, it's easy to stay on the sidelines and say, you shouldn't do that. But it's a tough situation, and I mean, look, McGill had 25 more teams than any other school, so it's a difficult situation. I don't like to see it, but I'm not sure I have an answer for
Right. And I
it,
look at the mental health issues and stress of our students and teenagers. It's rising. And sports and clubs and such offer such connection and
That's
community.
correct.
I'm a teacher myself, and I see the value in it of belonging, of having something to give yourself to. So I hope for the best on that front. You're listening to the Township's Daily News Bits featuring Mike Hickey, a renowned basketball coach, having been inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame 5 times and awarded the Quebec Basketball Coach of the Year 5 times as well. He brings his experience to the table in his memoir on Don Ryan, entitled When Basketball Was a Game, and there's a bigger mission and initiative that he will soon be bringing to the townships. Speaking back to your connection with Bishop's University, and on January 10th, this Saturday, you have a book signing that will take place at the game. There's 2 games you mentioned. Part of this is also bringing the mission to the townships, the Carry the Books as well as the Ball Initiative. So it's bigger than just this one event. Can you talk to us
Correct.
about this?
Well, basically, when the book was to the publisher, and now we're trying to figure out how we're going to market it. So when I was looking at some things here, and I started looking at what Don's life was about, and first and foremost was education. Even as a coach, he was educating people how to play the game, how to be a good sportsmanship. So he said, why don't we try and get this into schools, get into libraries? And so we approached businessmen in Montreal and New York about donating books to local school boards, and we're in the process right now doing the same thing in the townships. So we have a couple of proposals out to local businesses that have a history of funding such projects, and we expect to have a positive answer within the next 10 days. And but I would tell you that regardless of what happens with the funding, we will get books out to the local schools. I think it's so important. And, I spent 10 years as a substitute teacher in the townships, so I've been to most of the elementary schools. One of the things that I like to offer the people is that we'll give the books, ask the kids to read the books, have the coaches read the books. And then I wouldn't mind going back down and hitting a couple of schools on a day and talk to the kids about the value of sportsmanship and teamwork and things like that. So that's all in the works, but this has become my full-time job. And so I want to send the message of Don Ryan and the way he lived his life, and then and incorporate the sports has become too much a spectator sport as opposed to actual playing, and so let's get back to having kids go out and play and not have to spend thousands of dollars in equipment. And one of the beauties of basketball when I was growing up was you need a pair of running shoes and a basketball, and you can borrow somebody else's basketball. Now, you have to have special uniforms, you have to have this, you have to, and it's just some of these travel teams are thousands of dollars, and what happens is that you spend time traveling to maybe to the States, usually nice experience. You may play, in a weekend, you may play about an hour of actual basketball. And then you come home, you're too tired to practice and things like that. But the experience is good. But then you do it 2 or 3 times, and the cortisol starts to rise, and it's just we're getting away from from seasons. Now, basketball season is traditionally during the school year. Okay, and then the off seasons when you train and on your own, and you go out and you do things where you don't have a coach telling you what to do, or things blowing a whistle. And now we're being told it's 12 months a year of rigorous training. We have a situation where people who train now are everybody trying to make a buck, it seems to me. Off the sport, in the States where they now have this transfer and this money, this NIL money, where players can get paid and they get paid very, very good. All these players have agents, so and the agents is telling them what's good for them, what's best for them. It could be a 22-year-old friend, or and when I was growing up, the most valuable or the most important person in your life was your coach. And you trusted that coach, and the coach did things not to benefit him, but for the benefit of the student. And sometimes the message can be a little bit tough to take, but it was in the, but it was always with within the intention of making doing the best for the player. Now, I don't know if that's always the case. And I don't want to blanket everybody. There's some really good programs. I know Lenoxville does a great with the summer program. But in the book, I have an excerpt from Steve Kerr, who's a coach of the Golden State Warriors, whose son played in this AAU summer basketball. And he says that you'd be playing in a tournament, a kid would play for a team in the morning, and in the afternoon he's playing for a different team. So it's just crazy things like that. So I guess I just want to come back to a simpler time, where you go out and just have fun with kids,
Get out of your
because here's the bottom
head.
line: if kids don't have fun, they're not gonna keep playing. And we see that with the proverbial hockey player, but it's also the hockey parent, the soccer parent, and I'm sure there's basketball parents like that too, where they're constantly playing for their parents rather than for themselves. And in the end, too often they stop playing. We talk about burnout. A lot of time that burnout is not physical, it's mental. So.
I had the fortune of being an athlete and being involved in teams my whole way through, and it was such an integral part of my education. And my parents put the emphasis on my education and my marks, and if those drop, you don't get the same,
I experienced the same thing.
So you had goals. You had the chance that you might not achieve them, but if you did, wow, it had meaning. And
Well, here's the thing about it. I was just thinking about that before we went on the side of this conversation. Winning and losing. Winning in life is really important, but we base that winning on scores, on a score sheet, okay? And it should be on what we. How we improved, okay, or how we played. The Canadian junior hockey team just lost a really tough game. I thought they played a great game, but they came up short. Okay, are they losers? No. Although some people, so the expectations are that we have to win all the time. All right, and we don't have to win all the time. What we want all the time is good effort. All right, and we get good effort when the kids really love playing. But when we had to, convince kids to come to a practice or come to or play in a tournament, then when we're doing something wrong, and so let's bring it back to when basketball was the game. It was fun.
I think you summed it up. I was going to ask you on the courts of life if you had any coaching advice for us, but it sounds like, keep the fun in it.
Oh,
Play.
yeah, without doubt. And that goes for everything. And that doesn't mean having kids fool around or not listening to instructions or not. I mean, the competitive spirit is something that can be instilled on people, and it can be transferred from player to player. It can be transferred from a coach. I just don't think that there's room in the game right now for sport and for people who are the old school, I used to run summer programs for Bethel's organization in the West Island, and we had one young coach, and he told the players, if we don't win on Saturday, and they had no chance of winning the game. And the first thing practice, next Tuesday's practice, we was going to do 20 suicides, you know? I said, I don't think there's a player there who's going to show up for practice. And they know they go, you know, like that's, it's not something you should dread. It's something you should be looking forward to. And so.
It was written in the press release you shared with me. Don Ryan's emphasis was on sportsmanship, commitment, dedication, and teamwork. That's not about trophies. That's not about winning. That's not about
Absolutely.
scores and stats. That's about being a great teammate, a great person, and surpassing yourself.
You
Those are
know,
what.
there's a thing in the book I'll just share quickly with you. They're playing for the National Biddy Championships. And they win a game by a point. And then afterwards, the organizer of the tournament goes over and hands him a pair of scissors for him to cut down the nets. And he said, we're not going to cut down the nets. I mean, that team just lost the game by a point, and we're not going to rub it in. So we had all his players go over and shake their hands and talk to them and find out something about them. And then he said, go make a friend. And now I'm not putting down the cutting the net celebration, but you know, at the age of 12 or 13, you don't want to be fist pumping after you score a basket, or I mean, you shouldn't be doing it when you're 40, but that's another story. You know, the competition part of it is part of that is respect. You respect
Absolutely.
yourself, you respect your teammates, your coach, and the other team.
Well, thank you for highlighting the real goals behind sports and
Yes.
yeah, having respect, like you said, for yourself and for others. And you know, I find in classrooms I hear a lot, well, everyone has to be a winner. You know, you're the last winner. And I have a hard time swallowing that. Like you were saying, you need to learn how to be an eloquent winner, an eloquent loser, and see how you can improve. But yeah.
We go through this whole thing of adversity. You know, we adversity is what how you mold your character, and we have a situation now where parents and sometimes teachers and they want to take that away from kids. Like if something goes wrong, now we have to take care of you, we have to cuddle you and stuff, and. I'm a big supporter of positive reinforcement, but at the same time, I have sometimes in my coaching tenure, I probably have some issues with officials, you know? And you know, as the older I got, the more I appreciate what they did and how difficult their job was. And I always made a point of shaking the hands after the game, which wasn't always easy. The thing is that we're in a situation where you go into the stands, you listen to parents, you know, complain about referees and officials, and then they start to complain about their son's playing time or their daughter's playing time. And to a degree, it's understandable, but it's also counterproductive to understanding that I'm not the best player. You know, I went to a very good high school that w was very good in basketball, and I got cut 4 years in a row.
Oh
I think it's a school record, but then I played in college, you know. So I learned that hey, where I was wasn't good enough. So in the summertime, I play against good players and this and that. So, and someone like Don Ryan offered me the opportunity to get better at my own pace, type of thing, where too often, you know, we don't so things don't work out for us right away. And boom, we're done. You
We
know,
quit,
we're
right?
finished. So,
So, teaching grit.
yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Perseverance
I mean,
and.
it's going to happen in life, so we got to get used to it,
Exactly.
right? And we don't have to like it all the time, but it is a thing. So, yeah,
Yeah. Our challenges are when we grow the most. It can't
yes,
always,
without
you
doubt,
know?
without a doubt. And coaches will tell you they learn more from a loss than they do from a victory. You know. So,
Well, thank you so much. This is Wonderful. I wish you the best of success with
so
this
much.
book and your initiative and the mission behind it.
Well, thank you so much.
Take care. Bye.
Bye now.
That was Coach Hickey speaking to us about his latest book, When Basketball Was a Game. There will be a book signing event taking place at Bishop's University this Saturday, January 10th. He'll be on site from 5:30 to 8:30. There's a doubleheader against McGill, men's and women's basketball, so it should be a very lively and dynamic event to attend. All the best with the Carry the Books initiative. This is Holly Bailey signing off for the Local Journalism Initiative, funded through the Government of Canada.